Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. And if you want to ask a question, if you have a comment that you'd like to make, a nice one, or maybe even a little one with a little bit of an edge to it, here's how you do that. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. When you get to my website, by the way, you can also click on any of the links there that says contact us, and that'll get to me as well. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to check out Rick Pinion's position in our Brain Trust. There are dozens. I've forgotten how many. I can't count them all. There, I don't know, probably at least a couple of dozen here. At least a couple of dozen archives of shows that we've done in the past with Rick, way back into the last century, by the way. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, who's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. He is a certified financial planner and has many other kinds of credentials in the financial planning industry. He is an original member of our Brain Trust. He's an old friend, and we're glad to have him back. Rick Pinion, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. And I know, folks, that as you remember, those of you who've heard Rick on the show before, because he works in the industry called the securities industry, then we have to do a little something here that's different from mine and your industry, which is the caveat emptor industry, basically. Rick's industry is the full disclosure industry. And with that in mind, Rick, you're on.
Yes, in the spirit of full disclosure, I wanted to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG, SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and SunAmerica Securities are not directly related. We're affiliated. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, Rick, one of the things we've really never done before, and I want to take a minute and do this. Besides the credential that I give you, RCG, you know what RCG means, right?
RCG.
Yeah, it means really cool guy.
Oh.
Besides the credential I give you, you've got a bunch of other credentials after your name. CFP, CHFC, CLU. I want you to tell the audience what those credentials mean, because I'm
sure.
I'm proud of you for having those credentials.
Well, I think probably the first one that most people are familiar with is what they call a certified financial planner, which means that a person has to go through ethics review. They have to take a number of courses and a 10-hour exam. And to my knowledge, that's one of the highest credentials in the financial planning industry, is the certified financial planner. I'm also a chartered financial consultant, which is awarded by the American College in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Chartered financial consultant means that I have taken 10 exams and passed them successfully. I'm also a chartered life underwriter. That's a CLU. By the way, the chartered financial consultant is what they call CHFC,
mm-hmm.
And next is a chartered life underwriter, CLU. And I got that way back in the early 80s when that was really the top designation to have. Now when you mention CLU, people look at you like, you know, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it relates to the insurance industry.
Especially life insurance.
Right. I'm also a graduate of the American Institute of Banking. I'm also an LUTCF, Life Underwriters Training Council. And last but not least, I have an MBA from the American University here in Washington, D.C.
Now, folks, there are two reasons why I wanted Rick to do that. He didn't know I was going to ask him to do that. But that was a good tour, Rick. But
the reason
that I want him to do that is for two reasons. Number one, because I'm really proud of Rick for having those credentials. And that means he's worked really hard and he's serious about the profession that he's in. But also to let you know that when you're trying to find a financial planner, when you're considering a financial planner, wherever you are, These are some of the credentials that you may or may not see. If you see them, then you'll understand them a little bit better. If you don't see them, then you can ask the question, what are your credentials? You know, do you have are you a CFP? Are you a CHFC? Are you a CLU? Do you have these credentials? And if you don't, or if you're looking through the Yellow Pages or whatever, if somebody recommends a financial planner to you, then you can ask them about their credentials, their industry credentials. And I would consider the I'd encourage you to make your decision on who to hire accordingly. Because the more credentials, in this particular case especially, folks, you know, just like your doctor, you want your doctor to have all the training that he or she needs. You want to your financial planner to have the same thing. Rick, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about stock certificates. I'm sorry, we're going to talk about the buy-sell stock redemption plan that's available to you. 20 till. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. A little bit of Steely Dan for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Pinion is our guest. Rick, talk to us about a buy-sell stock redemption plan. What is that?
You know, it's amazing. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there probably have either a partnership or a corporation. Things are running along very smoothly. They never think about the possibility of maybe one day that they get in an accident, they become disabled, or perhaps they pass away. And there's no written agreement that says what's going to happen to their stock.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people just assume in the back of their mind that that stock's going to pass to perhaps their spouse or someone else, you know, that's going to automatically pick up the stock.
I think you're giving them too much credit, Rick. I think they don't. I think they don't want to think about it. I think they're in denial. I think they think they're going to live forever.
I'm sure there's a certain percentage of the population, that maybe a large percent, that feels that way.
Yeah.
But what they've got to worry about is what's going to happen to the surviving shareholders out there. How kind and gentle are they going to be to the person's spouse or someone else is supposed to inherit these shares? And so what we're talking about this morning is having some sort of a written agreement that says it's binding, that when, let's say that I pass away or I become disabled, there's an orderly transfer of my shares. And my spouse doesn't have to fight with the surviving shareholders because their objectives may be different from my spouse's objectives, my surviving spouse.
You know, that's what, you know, Rick, every example that you gave a minute ago, I have seen. In my consulting days, I saw where, you know, one of the partners, one of the founders, you know, literally died suddenly or got sick and wasn't able to work. You know, became disabled basically, or got sick and over a long period of time, you know, passed away. And it's something that nobody wants to think about, but it happens. It does happen in real life. And to me, there's two motivations, Rick. One is I want to take care of my family who will wind up being the shareholders. And the other one is, do I want to deal with my partner's widow? Do I want to be in business with my partner's widow?
That's another way to look at it.
That's another motivation, and sometimes that's the stronger one.
Yeah, because imagine the widow shows up at the door, or widower, and is used to getting a regular paycheck.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden the paycheck stops, and the widow or widower says, hey, I was used to getting this, you know, when my spouse was involved in the business. Now, where's my check? I haven't got it this week.
Well, or even, you know, even if the checks do keep coming, because most people would, you know, would honor that for the families of the deceased partner, or the ill partner. But the problem is what if he or she shows up, this person that's now owns the shares, now control the shares, they show up and say, okay, where's my desk?
That's right. And where's the stockholders meeting?
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst one. That's the worst question.
And the big thing a lot of people are unaware of is that they continue paying that person, that's a gift. I mean, they can't deduct that income because that person is not performing anything for the corporation normally.
Right, right.
It's a non-deductible salary or gift.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a horrible situation.
So how do we solve this problem? How do we prevent getting ourselves into this crack?
Well, I think the first thing is obviously you have to rely on the experts, people in the brain trust. So first of all, you've got to get an evaluation of your business, evaluation of the shares. You have to have an attorney draft an agreement. Everybody has to agree that this is what they would like to happen. It's a shared responsibility. Most people have spouses or loved ones that they want to carry on. Many of these people do not want their relatives to be directly involved in the business. They just want them to have enough cash to go on with their lives. And the remaining shareholders simply want the stock. They want that stock to be poured back into the corporation so that they can continue running that business for as long as they can. And that's really the heart and soul of what we're talking about this morning, Jim.
Right. Just to make sure that there is, well, it's what somebody once told me, and I've used this many times before, is when you go into business with somebody, folks, as you're having the wedding, plan the divorce.
Right. That's a good point. And having a business.
I'm sorry to use the word divorce, because maybe, you know, that's not the best word, but it's the most intuitive and the most instructive word, isn't it?
And, you know, having a partner is like a marriage. I mean, think, Jim, of how many partnerships that you've seen that's been dissolved.
Many.
Yeah. In other words, if we have a 50% divorce rate in our country, approximately, think of how many partnerships go on the rocks as well.
Actually, probably not as high a percentage as marriages are, but there's still a high percentage that don't make it for whatever reason or another. For either they don't get along or something, as we talked about earlier. Something happens, life happens, I guess we should say. So if you start out saying, okay, we love each other, we're going to go into business together, we're so excited, we're so happy with what we're planning on doing, and here it is a year or two later, and things are going so great, we're just doing great, the business is going well, we're getting along, but it might not always be this way. So why don't we plan on the contingency? And that's where you're coming in, Rick.
Yeah, and there's so many contingencies out there. I call those henchmen. You know, it could be a person wants to leave and go to work for a competitor, a person passes away, a person
right.
becomes disabled. I mean, I could go on and on of all the reasons why you should have a buy-sell agreement in place.
All right.
And if you don't have one, then you're subject to all the angriness and the uncertainty that may arise, and the business may go under just because of it.
All right.
It's that strong.
So what is the first step? After we've talked to our brain trust, we've got the attorneys and they're helping us. What are they going to be likely to tell us first?
Well, first of all, they're going to try and see how many shares are outstanding that the ownership has, what the value of those shares are. They're going to talk about different contingencies and what would happen to those shares. In other words, who would actually mm-hmm. receive them.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about different triggering events, like what would cause the passage of the shares.
Mm-hmm. Some of the different scenarios that might happen, and also a plan for allowing this buy-sell stock redemption plan to grow with the company. When we come back after these messages, Rick's going to tell us how that works and what it looks like. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Rick Pinion. He's with Pinion Financial Services. Stay with us. Back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Pinion is our guest. He's with Pinion Financial Services, the founder of that fine organization, which is in Bethesda, Maryland, hard by to our nation's capital. Rick, give us your website, please.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let me give you the website and also some important news. The website is www.pinion, that's P-I-N-I-O-N, just like opinion without the O, pinionfinancial.com. And if you come to my website, you can register for our seminar, which is coming up a week from today.
Okay.
September 28th from 7 to 9 p.m.
All right. That's going to be at the Puxio Marriott?
Yeah, Bethesda Marriott. You could register right on the website.
Okay. And that's a free seminar, right?
That's a free seminar. Refreshments will be served. And if you can't make it then, we're going to repeat the seminar on October 2nd, which is a Saturday morning, for breakfast from 9 to 11. And the subject matter is how to create a strategic income that will last you throughout retirement.
Even though it's free, the seating is limited, right?
Yeah, in fact, it's a good idea to make reservations now, because there's a possibility we may fill up the ballroom, then I have to cut off reservations.
And folks, you know, Rick is providing a wonderful service, and the room is full all the time. So if you register and you can't make it, go let them know that you're not coming, so they know that they can. Can they unregister, Rick? Can they do that if they decide they can't come?
Yeah, they can enter a note there on the website, or
right.
they can email me at pinion@pinionfinancial.com.
So take advantage of this, folks. It's a great service, and I know it's one that the whole Washington area folks look forward to that, and I appreciate you making that available to our listeners in the D.C. area. Okay, Rick, let's wrap up on the buy sell stock redemption plan. When we were talking to us about some of the steps that need to be taken.
Yeah, I think the most important one, Jim, is that inflation is our number one enemy. So we've got to reevaluate our buy-sell agreement periodically, maybe once a year, once every 5 years, whatever's in the agreement, because we have to make sure that the value of that buy-sell agreement reflects the actual value of the underlying stock.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the mistakes that I see a lot of business owners make is they do the buy-sell, but they don't reevaluate it periodically.
Right.
Please do that.
But now, whenever an event like this happens, whichever trigger comes to pass, there's got to be a way to fund that trigger.
Right.
And most of the time in a small business, there's not, you know, enough cash laying around, enough liquidity that, without hurting the company, to allow for the dissolution of this partnership.
And the magic words are life insurance and disability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Disability buyout, life insurance buyout. You need a funding vehicle. So many times when a person brings in their buy-sell agreement and I say, how is it funded, I get a blank look. It's very, very important that the insurance be in place to provide the ready cash for that proper buyout.
So if you have a life insurance policy on both partners, both the two main shareholders in the company, and one of them dies suddenly, then the cash is there from the proceeds of the insurance to give the check to the family in exchange for the stock certificates.
Right, and that's called a cross purchase. Remember, cross purchase, because each one's going to purchase at the other, and each one will have their own life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If there's many, many partners, then you want the corporation to own the insurance policy,
right?
And we call that an entity purchase agreement.
Right, but either way, the company pays for the insurance, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either way, the company pays for it. This is a great plan, folks, and it's simple, and it's an old plan, isn't it, Rick? I mean, it's been around a long time.
Yeah, the idea's been around a long time, but we got to get more people to catch on to how it works and get them to step up to the plate.
Right. And the other thing is if you, in the ones that I've experienced, is you go ahead and build, you get insurance that builds cash value, don't you? Don't you get participating policies?
Yes, you can get cash value policy, and then you can use that. It can do double duty dollars. In other words, that money can also be used for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So the more cash that builds up, the happier people are when they get close to retirement.
Well, and it helps it also helps the company to buy you out when you decide to retire, especially if you've got one owner who wants to work longer than the other one, or if there's a disparity in the ages.
Right. We can get a policy that's paid up early. You know, get one of those 10 pay policies, and after 10 years, it's paid up. You put it in the drawer and forget about it.
So check with your accountant, check with your attorney, get somebody to help you with a buy-sell stock redemption plan. Right, Rick?
Right.
And I know your organization can help them with that, too. Get your financial planner involved in this, too. Rick Pinion, thank you for being here today. Thank you for this good information. Give us your website again, please.
www.pinionfinancial, one word, pinionfinancial.com. You can just search under Pinion. You'll find me on the Internet.
Thanks, Rick. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and this program really is for you. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.